Well, just when you thought church couldn't get any weirder, here we are. I'm sitting in my living room talking to my phone, and you are, well, I don't know where you are. You could be sitting on one of our campuses or on your living room couch or on an exercise bike in a gym somewhere. And who knows what day of the week you're listening to this. Welcome to church in 2021. Now, for those who may not have heard, I tested positive for COVID last Saturday afternoon, and so I have been hunkered down here at home ever since. Now, I'm feeling fine at this point, just a couple of headachy days, but doing okay now, but I need to isolate a few more days. Now, fortunately, Karen has tested negative all the way through this thing so far. But I'll tell you, trying to live distant in the same house with a person I've been married to for 40 years is a very strange experience. Now, for a variety of reasons, I really wanted to preach this message this Sunday. So rather than expose our production crew, I'm filming myself at home, which is a bit of a scary proposition. And there's something ironic about the fact that after all the improvements we've made to digital services of ministry over the past year or so, we're back to homemade videos on a Sunday morning. But that's where we are. We decided to just embrace this COVID moment. And maybe this sermon will feel a little more like a conversation than a well-produced sermon. Now, there's also something ironic about the fact that on the Sunday that I'm scheduled to speak on the subject of fear, I've come down with the one thing we've all been afraid of for the past 18 months. Now, at this point, it doesn't seem like I have too much to be afraid of. I'm fully vaccinated, so I've only had mild symptoms. I don't have any complicating health issues, except maybe that age thing. And I've got no less than 5 Grace Chapel doctors checking in on me just about every day. And not to mention a congregation of people praying for me. So I'm in pretty good shape at this point. But I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that as I lay in bed last Saturday night, having gotten past the annoyance of testing positive, my mind drifted to the grim statistics we've been tracking the past year or so, and to the sad stories we've heard of people younger and healthier than me succumbing to this illness or suffering long-haul complications. So there's certainly been a bit of a fear factor for me in this experience. But coming down with COVID is just one of a variety of fears we're facing here and as we head into a new season of school and church and work and life. And we're also afraid for the psychological impact all this is having on people, especially on our children. A year and a half now of social isolation and compromised school experiences and growing up in a sea of masked faces. We're afraid for our nation, so divided and unsettled. We're afraid for our planet, facing environmental challenges and a series of natural disasters. Some of us are afraid for the church, for our church and for the church at large. Will we bounce back from all this disruption? Will we overcome our differences? Will we capture the hearts and minds of the next generation? Plenty of things to fear here in August of 2021. But before we go too far, let me point out one thing, that the fear itself is not a bad thing. I mean, to hear some people talk, it's a lack of faith to be afraid of COVID or to wear a mask. Now, let's remember that fear is a God-given instinct. It's our body's natural response to a real or perceived threat. It awakens our senses. It prompts us to take action to protect ourselves. Whether that means putting on a seatbelt or a bike helmet or a mask. not a sin to be afraid of COVID-19 or any of the other dangers we've just mentioned. It would be foolish and reckless not to be afraid of a real threat. How we handle that fear, how we respond to what's happening around us and inside us, that's where faith comes in. So as we designed this series to help us center our hearts before we begin a new season, a new year, we knew we had to address fear. And in particular, how do we move forward in the face of fear? How do we go back to school, work, church, life, with these very real fears lurking in the shadows? So far we've learned that a centered heart is honest, forgiven, and joyful. But how does a centered heart handle fear? Well, to answer that question, we're going to go back to the book of Psalms, this ancient collection of prayers for and from the heart. And it turns out there are a lot of Psalms that address fear, but I landed on Psalm 27, a favorite and familiar Psalm for many people. Now, we won't be able to cover every verse in the Psalm, but I do want us to get to feel and follow the writer's journey beyond fear, because that's where we want to go. So let's begin with the opening stanza, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. It's a strong opening. Now we're told that it's a psalm of David, but we're not given any hints as to the setting or the circumstances. Now it's clear he's facing a danger of some sort. He talks about the wicked advancing against me and an army besieging me. He mentions enemies and foes and war. Now, were these physical enemies out to do him bodily harm? Or were they political enemies trying to bring him down? Were there actual armies advancing against the city? Were there demonic spirits oppressing him? Was it all of the above? We don't really know. What we do know is that he seems not to be afraid of any of it. Whom shall I fear, he says. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says it twice so we don't miss it. And having named all these threats and all these enemies, he concludes this opening stanza by saying, my heart will not fear. Even then will I be confident. It's pretty impressive. He sounds pretty, wait for it, centered. Now, I find that confident word very interesting. When we originally designed this series, we thought we would be talking about courage as the answer to fear. A centered heart is courageous, we wrote in our notes. But as I worked through this psalm, it became clear to me that David is describing something different than courage. I mean, courage can be defined as the ability to do something that frightens me. To do something that frightens me. Now we get that. It takes courage to jump out of an airplane, even with a parachute on. It takes courage to walk into a new classroom on the first day of school. It takes courage for some people to speak in public or to climb a ladder or to ask somebody out. Courage is an admirable and an important quality. But courage isn't exactly what David is describing here. It's not the word he uses. See, courage describes something that comes from within. It's something we find by looking deep within ourselves, gritting our teeth, pushing through our fears. David's confidence comes from outside himself, from an external source, something that enables him to see beyond his fears. I got curious about the word, so I went to the dictionary and found that confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. One can rely on someone or something. Now, that sounds more like what David is describing. He's not looking deep within himself to find this strength. He's looking beyond himself to someone stronger than he is, stronger than his enemies. And that someone is God. And that gives him confidence. And as that word was knocking around in my mind, I suddenly found myself brought back to Kids Week earlier this summer. Because the theme for Kids Week 2021 was confidence. Each day, the kids discovered another reason they could have confidence in God. And they even had hand motions to go along with each day. I have confidence because I am known. I have confidence because I belong. I have confidence because I'm forgiven, because I can change, because I can make a difference. And in a similar way, David reminds himself of the reasons he can have confidence in God. He describes God with three strong images. He refers to God as my light. Light drives away fear. My salvation, which is the promise of deliverance or rescue. And my stronghold, which offers protection, a fortress in the wilderness. With a God like that, whom then shall I fear? David says. Well, it all sounds great. If we had that kind of confidence, we wouldn't be afraid either. Of COVID or climate change or natural disaster or whatever it is that keeps you awake in the middle of the night. But how do we get there? How did David get to such a centered place in the face of such real threats? Well, it turns out it took some effort. It wasn't automatic. It takes more than a kid's song or a list of Bible words to gain this kind of confidence. David had to look for it. He had to go after it. And in the next stanza, he tells us how he did that. Well, let's go down to verses 4-5. One thing I ask from the Lord, this is what I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. This confidence didn't just drop out of the sky for David. It didn't just come bubbling up spontaneously from within him. He sought it. He went after it. One thing I ask, he says, this is what I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. He's not saying he wants a cushy church job, like the Levites or the priests who spend all their days in these sacred spaces. He's not saying he wants to live in the temple, like a homeless person sleeping on the steps of a church. He's simply saying he wants to be in the presence of God whenever and wherever he can. In fact, notice how many places he mentions. House, temple, dwelling, tent, and rock. Now we know from the other Psalms that David loves to gather with God's people in those sanctuaries for worship. He loves to be in God's house and to sense God's presence. But we also know from Psalms that David doesn't have to be in a special building to be close to God, that he can experience God's presence anywhere, even under a tent in the wilderness, even on a rock in the middle of nowhere. And when he senses God's presence, when he knows that God is near him, with him, he has confidence. He is not afraid. And we get that too. We know what a difference it can make to have the right person with you when you're afraid. When you're a kid, there's a thunder and lightning storm at night. It sure feels better if mom or dad come and sleep in the room with you. I mean, they can't make the thunder and lightning stop. You just feel safer with them in the room. If you're lost in the woods, it can be scary. If you have a trained wilderness guide with you, well, you're a lot more confident of finding your way out. As soon as I tested positive last week, I immediately called a doctor friend from church. And just talking to that person on the phone, knowing they were watching out for me, I immediately felt better and at peace. Having the right person with you and on your side, it makes all the difference when you're afraid. Which means if we're looking for confidence in the face of fear, the best thing we can do is draw near to God, to remind ourselves of his presence. One of the ways we do that, as David suggests, is to get yourself to a sacred place, like a church building, where his people gather on a regular basis, where you have experienced his presence before. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons that we feel a bit more fearful these days, a bit more anxious. For a year and a half, we haven't been able to gather week by week with God's people in places that are meaningful to us and that remind us of God's presence. It's taken a toll on us. I think it's made us more susceptible to fear. But we also know, like David, that you don't have to be in a sacred place to create a sacred space. I hope we've learned that this past year. With a little intentionality and a little help from technology, you can sense God's presence anywhere, even on your living room couch, even on an exercise bike at the gym. But it's not just watching services that allow us to sense God's presence, but spending time personally with God in scripture and in prayer. Listening to helpful podcasts or to worship music. Praying the examen that we've been learning. Practicing fasting, as we talked about. Connecting with God's people, whether it's on Zoom or social media. More than once this past year, our small group has helped me find confidence in God. So, confidence doesn't just drop out of the sky or spontaneously bubble up in our hearts. But if we will seek God's presence on a regular basis, if we'll remind ourselves of his character and his ways, if we'll pray our way through the day, we'll find ourselves becoming less fearful and more confident. And that's where faith comes in. Because faith can best be defined as confidence in God. Faith is simply confidence in God. Now, speaking of irony, there's something ironic about me speaking on confidence. Because it's something I've always struggled with. Now that may sound strange. I mean, here I am, leading a large church and speaking to thousands of people. But I've struggled with confidence my whole life. All kinds of reasons for that, I suppose. Family background and temperament. I tend to be shy and self-conscious and introverted. But part of it, is that during those formative years of middle school and early high school, when we're forming images of ourselves and who we are and how we fit in the world, I was a really small kid. I mean, you think I'm skinny now? You should have seen me then. But I wasn't just skinny. I was short. I was always the shortest guy on the team. I was shorter than all the girls I liked. I was always the youngest kid in the class. And so for all kinds of reasons, I struggled with confidence. But interestingly, like David seems to be suggesting, the place I felt confident, the place I really came alive, was a church. There was something about that environment. People who loved me, stories of Jesus, beautiful music, inspiring teaching. There was something about being in God's house that gave me the freedom and the courage to be myself, to be a leader, to speak in front of groups, to go out and share my faith publicly. I discovered that if God was in it, if he was with me, I could be confident. And honestly, that's still true for me. I still struggle with confidence, but I still find my confidence in God, in his word, in his people, in his spirit. Well, when I have to do a difficult thing, make a big decision, when we have to launch some new initiative, when I have to preach a tough message, I hunker down with God and with the scriptures. I wait on the Spirit. I listen to his people around me. And when I know that God is in it, that I have a word from him, that I'm aligned with his purposes, well, man, I can speak and lead with confidence. Well, as long as we're getting personal, let's skip down to verses 7 and 8. David says, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." But David's being very intimate here, very revealing. When he's afraid, when he senses a need for God's presence, he talks to himself. He has a conversation with his own heart. But it's not the normal kind of self-talk that motivational speakers will tell us about. This is not giving yourself a pep talk in the middle of a tennis match or before you ask your boss for a raise. You could do it, Brian. You're the man. No, it's not that. David's self-talk isn't about himself. It's about God. Seek his face, he says to his heart. Yes, his heart says back, your face, Lord, I will seek. And friends, I do that. I do that almost every time I stand up to preach or sit down to preach, whatever. I still have doubts before I speak or teach, even after all these years. Is this any good? Do I know it well enough? Will people be bored? You talk about fears? I'm terrified of boring people with the Bible. And all those fears run through my head before I speak. So I have a little conversation with myself. And I talk to the Lord as I head toward the platform as I sit down in front of the camera. Here we go, Lord. Let's do this. Because I know that if God is in it, if God is with me, I can do it. I can have confidence. Well, that's more than enough about me. Well, what about you? Most of you aren't preachers. You don't get to live in God's house like I practically do. But you can face your fears in the very same way. By seeking intentionally God's presence, gathering with his people whenever you can, whether that's Sundays or middle of the week or both, by spending time with God on a daily basis, by digging deep into the scriptures, reminding yourself throughout the day that he's with you. Because we know that when the God of the universe is on our side, when Jesus himself is alive within us, when the Spirit of God is flowing through us, man, we have confidence, whatever we're facing, whatever we might be afraid of. But what exactly are we confident of? That everything will turn out the way we want? That it will be hard or scary or unpleasant? No, not at all. That's not what David asks for or expects. What we can be confident of is that God will help us move forward in the face of those fears. Let's skip down to verse 11. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. David doesn't expect the Lord to suddenly remove all the obstacles or to airlift him out of harm's way. God's not a helicopter parent who comes swooping in to rescue us from hard things. David's going to have to face these fears and these enemies. He's going to have to navigate these challenges a step and a day at a time. What he's confident of is that the Lord will show him the way and that he will grow closer to God through the experience. Because of my oppressors, because it's hard, because it's scary, I can experience God's presence. And I can vouch for that personally as well. My greatest seasons of growth, my most powerful experiences of God, have always come when I've been in over my head or facing some fear. And I've sensed God's nearness and his strength working through me. I wouldn't trade those experiences for anything, as uncomfortable and frightening as they might be. So sometimes, one of the best ways to experience God's presence, to grow our confidence in him, is to follow him into some new or scary or uncomfortable endeavor. Now, in just a few minutes, at the end of this message, we're going to share with you some of the ways you could get more involved in serving and ministering to others here at Grace, particularly with children and with students. As we relaunch this fall after a year and a half without in-person ministries, we're looking for a whole new wave of servant leaders here at Grace. And not just in the traditional areas of children and students and welcome team and cafe. We need those folks for sure. But also in some new areas like technology and video and social media. Can I just talk to you as a pastor and as a friend for a moment? It's been a long, crazy year and a half. And I'm wondering that if for some of us, for some of you, if it's been a while since you've experienced God's presence and power in your life, if you're not feeling as close to God as you would like to, as you once did, I promise you, God is waiting for you in ministry, in service. He will meet you in that space. It's where he's always met me. And if it's a little bit scary, that's all the better. So you can learn more about where we're headed this year, about ways that you might get involved at one of our Campus Vision gatherings. They're going to be happening on Saturday, September 11th on each of our campuses. But as we finish up, let's bring this back to the larger fears we're all facing here in August of 2021. whether that's related to COVID-19 or the state of our country or the future of the church or what school holds for our kids this year, whatever fear might be keeping you up at night these days. Fear has a way of paralyzing us, making us tentative and reluctant. What we're learning here in Psalm 27 is that we can move forward in the face of fear when we put our confidence in God, even when we don't know what's coming, even when we don't know the outcome, how we're going to handle it. Look how David finishes the psalm. Verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Just like last week in Psalm 33, David is not out of the woods yet. He's still in harm's way. He doesn't know the outcome, but he remains confident. And what's he confident of? That he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that expression, the land of the living, that's Old Testament speak for this life, real life, the life we're living now in 2021. David's not looking forward to heaven here. He's looking forward to next week or the next season or to whatever life might bring his way, because he's confident that no matter what life brings his way, he will see God's goodness. He will experience God's presence and God will see him through. And in my better moments, I'm confident of that as well. There's a lot of uncertainty out there as we look to next year. How long will COVID be with us? How long will it take the church to bounce back? How will all this affect our children and our grandchildren? What does the future look like for our nation and our planet? It could be easy at times to give in to fear, to be paralyzed and find ourselves pessimistic. But then, when we seek God's presence, when we gather with his people, even from our living rooms, when we spend time in the scripture and pray our way through the day, when we step into service and ministry to others in Jesus' name, when we do what God's called and gifted us to do, our hearts get centered and we find confidence to move forward beyond fear. A centered heart finds confidence in God. A centered heart finds confidence in God. So let's center our hearts right now as we pray the prayer of examine that we've been practicing through this series. I'm going to guide us through the five movements, and along the way, I'll give you time to talk to yourself and to God and to your heart along the way. So let's pray. Lord, we begin our prayer by relishing the moments that we have sensed your presence as we look back over the past 24 hours, moments of beauty and goodness and confidence. As we review the last 24 hours or so, Lord, we want to name our fears. The moments we found ourselves fearful, unable, or afraid to move forward. And as you bring them to mind, Lord, we repent of the times we neglected to seek your presence. and instead tried to overcome those fears in our own strength and missed an opportunity to experience your presence. We receive your forgiveness, Lord, and the freedom to try again. And we resolve with your help to find our confidence in you this week, knowing that we will see your goodness in the land of the living. In Jesus' name.